While you're standing this morning, if you would do me a favor and go grab your Bibles and go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes this morning. The book of Ecclesiastes. I want to look at chapter 3 this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 this morning. And I want to read several verses to you, if that's okay, for the next few moments that we're going to spend together today. I'm going to share a word with you that I think it's an important word. I think it's a now word. Amen. A now word. Do you know what that means? That means it's for now. All right. It's for now. It's for somebody's life now. It's one of those words. It can't wait till next Sunday. It's got to be now. It's got to be now. I believe it's now for our church. Now for our lives this morning. If you'll receive it today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. The word of the Lord says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep, there's a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. And a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get up and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Amen. Say amen to reading of God's word this morning. And you may be seated in the house of the Lord here today. God bless you all. Thank you so much for your participation in worship. God bless you for that this morning. This is probably one of, if not the most quoted scriptures when it comes to dealing with what I want to deal with this morning. I want to deal with something called change. 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 I'm not one that enjoys a lot of change. Just not. I look back and I can see restaurants and I'm thinking to myself, why did they change? I can look at things in shopping centers, and my wife and I went to a mall the other day, and it's been years since I've been there, and I looked around and I said, this used to not look like this. And I thought, why did it change? I look back and I say, why did the 1964 Mustang have to change? Why? I like the body style of the 1964 Mustang. But then I got to thinking, we wouldn't have the 1994 body style of the Mustang. If you're a car person, you know what I'm talking about. I look back, Stan, since you've always got something to share, I think, why did they change a 1957 Chevrolet? Man, I want to tell you, that was the sharpest car ever made unto man. That was the night. Why did the 1957 come along? Because to me, the 1958 was just ugly. When they started doing something weird with the tail, with the fin of it. The 1957... It didn't need to change. But then the 1958 came along. I'm thinking, why? Why? Now, not at that time, because I wasn't thought of at that time. But some of you know I'm talking about. And if you're a car person today, you'll know what I'm talking about. In restaurants, I'm thinking to myself, when October gets here, where's Gary? Gary, when October gets here, it is one of the other happiest moments in my life. Not only because of football. Not only the World Series takes place, but the McRib comes to McDonald's. When October is over, I say, why? Why do you have to change it? Why do you get rid of it? Why can't it stay on the menu? Why? Why are you changing so much? And so many things around is changing. So today we are using this scripture and we're going to be dealing with the word change. And understand this morning that nothing changes. And I'm going to reflect back to this title many times. Nothing changes if nothing changes. As a matter of fact, the title this morning is Nothing Has Changed If You Haven't Changed. The statement change is unavoidable, and misery is optional. When I think of that, I think that there's it's more of a truer statement now than people would care to admit. As a matter of fact, somehow we imagine that it is possible to live without change. I want to tell you something. Everything is always changing. Nothing stays the same. Nothing stays the same, including you. Nothing stays the same. You're not getting younger. We're all getting older. Our time is ticking. We're changing. I got a hold of a razor this morning. I started doing a little trim up, and I went down to the closest blade that I could to get this little gray patch right here and try to cut it out. And I'm thinking to myself, no! You know what my wife said? She said, we can get some of that, little bit of that dye. Some of that dye. And I said, no, I'm not looking like one of them preachers. No. When them preachers is 80 years old and they ain't got a gray hair in their head, yeah, come on now. And you're trying to convince everybody that you're not using that stuff. You know, I think things change, man. It just, life goes on and nothing stays the same. But however, we can no more live and not have change in our lives than we can jump without feeling the impact of gravity. Therefore, we live, to live is to change. And any thought that we can avoid change in life is pure illusion to the mind. Women have the same rights as men today. Why? Because something changed. And I can try to resist change all that I want. I could try to keep the 1957 Chevy the same. I could try to keep the 1964 Mustang the same. But it changes. So what I've got to learn to do is I've got to release my resistance and understand things change. That's what I have. I've got a job. I've got an obligation to do that. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. In other words, there are some stuff that has to change. There's a saying that says that nothing changes if nothing changes. And if I keep doing what I've always done, I'm going to keep getting the same results that I've always got. And I'm going to keep getting the feelings that I've always felt. And that is a truer statement because to do the same thing over and over without having something change in you and keep looking for different outcome to happen. Listen, in order to change, you've got to change. In order to see change, you've got to experience change. Albert Einstein said these words, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, but expecting a different result. I want you to understand with me this morning for these next few moments that we're going to spend together, that is, nothing changes if nothing changes. And if I keep doing what I've always done and I keep feeling and keep going through the routine, then nothing's going to change. And although this is a true statement, it is just another way of saying that you are stuck in a rut. How many's ever been stuck before? Man, you've been stuck out in the field, stuck out in the pasture somewhere, stuck on the side of the road somewhere. The grass was just soggy and spongy, and man, them wheels just begin to spin, and the more you try to back up and the more you try to move forward, it seems like you're digging deeper and deeper. If you continue to try to move forward, if you continue to try to spin the wheels, listen, you're going to stay in the rut and you're going to continue to dig deeper until something changes. And in the same way, unless there is a change, we will be stuck in the same rut, spinning our wheels, going nowhere in life. Many people are stuck in a rut today. Many people are stuck in their lives. There's I'll even say in a crowd this size this morning, many of you, some of you, you're stuck. The best way to explain where you're at in life is you're in a rut. You're stuck. You're not moving forward. You're not progressing. Nothing. You're just stuck because you're refusing to allow change to happen inside of you. People refuse change because their mindset is this, that I am comfortable and or I can control what I am doing, and they are fearful of change. Man, people are scared of change because change can be scary sometimes. And Woodrow Wilson, he gave a very wise warning. He says, if you want to make enemies, try to change something. Boy, that's the truth. You want to make enemies, you change something about somebody's routine. Why? Because people, man, they get upset. People, why? Because they're fearful. They get scared because they can't hold on and control it anymore. Change, when change gets out of their control, it's a scary thing to them. And so what happens? They get a bad spirit about them. I don't know if you feel it, but I feel the Holy Ghost moving up here right now. They get scared, and because they don't understand and they can't control things anymore. I mean, technology, man, sometimes if you don't embrace it, you know, the change, like it or not, it's moving forward. People are scared of it because they don't understand it. They don't know how to maneuver and how to make it happen for them. Change can be a very threatening thing. Why? Because change will bring with it a level of uncertainty. And because of that uncertainty, people develop an attitude or a spirit of fear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a power and a love and a sound mind. Therefore, we should not be fearful of change, but we should learn to embrace it. Embrace the change that is going on. However, because of this attitude or spirit of fear, people sometimes unconsciously and sometimes even consciously become ineffective and irrelevant, and ultimately they die, all because they refused to change. As a matter of fact, it happens with individuals. People die off because they refuse change. Businesses die off because there's never a change. Marriages die because nothing ever changes. Organizations die because there's no changes. And unfortunately, some churches even die because there's never changes. Church, I want you to understand, even the people in Christ's days, even the people of those days that they were looking for and they were expecting the promised Messiah, they didn't accept him when he came on the scene because he didn't come the way that they expected him to come. Nor did he do what they wanted him to do, which is that which was to overthrow the oppressing Roman rule. But as a result, they rejected Christ, the Messiah, and they clung to their irrelevant religious traditions, and they missed out on the opportunity to change. What a sad moment that was for them. One of the main reasons people don't want to serve God, as a matter of fact, one of the main reasons people don't want to take a step and move in an altar and submit and commit their lives to God is because they are afraid and they're fearful that a change is going to take place. They're fearful that their lifestyle is going to have to change. They're afraid that they're not going to be able to hold up their end of the bargain. They're afraid that things are going to be out of their hand. Listen, I want you to understand, a lot of people, they go through the motions of Christianity, but they never change their lives or their lifestyle. The word of the Lord tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. For all things have passed away, and behold, all things are made new. In In order for that to happen, what has to come? Change. Change in people's lives. The simple interpretation of the scripture is change. Traditions and rituals are effective as long as they are relevant. Refusal to change is called stubbornness. The Bible talks about the stubbornness 28 different times in the Word of God. But then it uses another word. It's called stiff-necked. 19 other times throughout the Word of God, these words are talking about people that refuse to change. Stiff neck. Stubbornness. Anybody know any stiff necks? Don't point, don't point, don't point, don't point. I know they're here. Don't point. Understand, God cannot allow people to lead comfortable lives when stubbornness separates them from Him. When God is trying to do one thing, and because of stubbornness and stiff-neckedness is pulling them in a different direction, God, it kind of makes a wedge there where God's not able to do what God needs to do. God wants everyone to let go of stubbornness, return to Him. In other words, God wants us all to be willing and ready to change. While truth never changes, time never changes. People will change. Situations change. Methods change. So when our traditions are no longer relevant, we need to open up and learn to change. Why? For to live is to grow, and for to grow, it takes change. Are you with me this morning? See, it's not smart to continue to do the same thing and think that something different is going to happen. There's a saying that goes, prayer changes things. Anybody ever heard that before? Pray until something happens and prayer changes. It's very smart. It's not very smart to pray and not expect change to take place. It's not a smart thing. I've met people in churches before that they don't want change. They resist change in churches. They don't want things to change. They don't want their idea of church when they walk in the door. They need it to be the same way every week. And it's kind of robotic. I have to use this stall. I have to get my tithe envelope from this table. I have to sit in this seat. I have to shake this hand, but not this. It's all robotic. Why? Because that's what I've always done. But then the altar call happens, and you're down here praying for your sons and daughters to come to know God. And when and you're not the only one praying for your loved ones to come to know God. And you pray and you pray and for your neighbors to come to know God and your coworkers to come to know God. And all of a sudden God does a work in their life and brings them or brings somebody else's loved one. And then we resist the change. Don't pray it if you're not ready to see it. Don't ask God to touch your family if you're not ready for Him to do something in somebody else's family that's going to rock your world. We can't let our mindset and our world be so small that it throws everything upside down when it's out of whack. Listen, when you pray, expect change to take place. If the church is growing, people are coming in, prayers are being answered. Watch this. That's change. You look good this morning. You're a good-looking crowd this morning. Praise God for you this morning. How many of you saved this morning? Praise God this morning. How many on your way to heaven this morning? Praise God for that. That means change had to happen for you to get to where you're at today. But there's still plenty of seats that are empty. And that means change is going to happen. Church, you hear me. Change is coming. There's not as many amens as there was. Change is coming. And it's going to flip your world. And it means you're going to have to change. Change is coming to our country. You're going to have to change. Change is coming to your workplace. You're going to have to change. You cannot stop change from happening. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said this, "Unto him I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus said that he was the truth. Hebrews 13, verse 8. It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the only one that never changes. And his word never changes. But we live in a world that's always changing. Saints of God, understand Jesus never changes. Since Jesus is the word, God in the flesh, Jesus' word never changes. It is the word of God. If it can't change, regardless of whose feelings are hurt or what laws are passed. There are some things that will change in your life, and there are some things that will never change in your life. Well, wait a minute, preacher. You just said things change. Well, yeah, they do, but you've got to learn to accept the things that cannot change, and you've got to learn to accept the things that will change. What are you saying? I'm saying we can't change our past. How many would like to go back in a time machine and fix a few things from the past? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Absolutely. You can't change the things of the past, but you can change the things of the present that will ultimately change your future. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway of peace, trusting him that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and then supremely happy with him forever in the next life in glory. One of the most successful programs, I looked it up the other day, one of the most successful programs is the 12-step program. The 12-step program. And it takes you through some of the people with chronic struggles. It has been in 12-step programs, and a 12-step recovery program that essentially is the same way. Step one is about taking a step. I admit to myself that something is seriously wrong in my life. Hello, I'm Jason. I have issues. And the crowd around me says, I wasn't looking for that one. Not all of you been in 12-step programs then. Because you're supposed to say, hello, Jason. And we're proud of you, Jason, for admitting your problems. You bunch of scrubs. But the first step in this is it's admitting, taking a step. Admitting that I've made a mess of my life. Admitting that I admit this, and I quit trying to play games with myself. I realize that my life has become unmanageable in many ways. It's not under my control anymore, and I do that. I do things that I later regret. I tell myself that I'll not do these things again, and lo and behold, I wind up doing them again. The word of the Lord even tells us in Romans 7, for the things that I know I should not do, those are the things I wind up doing. And the things that I know I should not do and I should do, that I don't do them. Oh, wretched man am I. I know what I should be doing. I know what I shouldn't be doing. I keep on doing them in spite of my regrets, in spite of my denials, and in spite of my vows, and in spite of my cover-ups and my facades. So step one is all about the brokenness and admitting that, you know what, I've got some dilemmas. I've got some issues in life. But step two, and I won't go through all 12 of them today, amen. Step two is a step of hope. It's a step of faith. It's a step of realization. It's a big step toward God. In essence, it says that in spite of all the failures in my own life and all the broken promises, all the hard feelings and all the disappointments and failures and the behavior and the hatred and the anxiety and the depression and the guilt, I believe that there is still hope. I believe there's still hope there. There's hope because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And in Christ, all things are possible. And I am incapable of doing it myself. So you're saying, I believe number two, step two is this. I need God's help. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, brethren, I count myself not to apprehend, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the things that are ahead. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In order to do that, it takes change. But then the step three is a step of letting go. Of letting go. Man, that's the hard step. That's a tough step. I've made a conscious and willful decision to turn my will and my life circumstances over to the care of God. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, it says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Man, that's a tough thing. Why? Because it takes change. It takes change to be able to let things go. It takes change to be able to just float them out to God and say, God, this is not my issue anymore. This is yours. Now you don't have to be an addict for these things and these steps to help you. In fact, there are essentially first steps of any of us that we take in order to grow in our walk with the Lord. Remember, change must happen in your life. For to live is to grow, and to grow is to change. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Nothing changes in your life if nothing changes in your life. You getting that? You understand that this morning? If you came up for prayer at an altar call and got a good blessing from God 6 months ago, but you go back to a life of sin, then nothing changed. Nothing changed. If nothing changed. Why? Because if you come to church every Sunday, you pay your tithe, you pay your offering, you sing, you praise songs, you sing with loud, with enthusiasm, but you still have the same carnal mind, then nothing in your life has changed, because your mind is still the same. It amazes me, the people that think that all of a sudden they can live how they want to live, come and all of a sudden God bless me like a little bird and do something and help me, and God will. But God expects there to be change in you. We can't expect to go back out and live like we were living and be no change about us. Come on, somebody. We can't expect that. There has to be a change in us before there's a change in our life. Romans 8, 7 says, because the carnal mind is animosity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So we see that this carnal mind, mind must be changed, for nothing changes if nothing changes. Romans 12, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. By what? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Amen, preacher. But I resist change in my life. It don't work like that. You've got to be open and ready to accept change. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform means to undergo a change in the structure. A genetic modification has got to happen in your life. Look at a caterpillar. A caterpillar is not a beautiful creature. It crawls around on the ground. It's vulnerable to the predators. But at some point in its life, it undergoes a transformation, both physically and mentally. And the transformation physically causes the genetic structure to change, and it produces wings of multicolors about it, and that makes it possible for the new creature to fly and to look prettier than before. But also it offers a transformation that has to take place in that little sucker's mind. Think about this. When it was a caterpillar, all it could do was crawl. But after the transformation in the mind, that caterpillar all of a sudden realizes that I can do more than crawl. I can now fly. So he can rise above being stepped on, and he can outmaneuver its predators. Listen, if there hadn't been a change, then nothing about its life would have ever changed. And the same with you.
2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, and behold, all things are made new. You cannot be in Christ and still do what you were doing before you got in Christ. Hello? I don't want you leaving here and thinking you can still live in sin and be okay and go to heaven. I will preach hell. And I do believe it's going to be full of people that have that mindset. That I can live however I want to live, do whatever I want to do. I can still darken the doors every once in a while, but it's okay. I've already got sin in my mind what I'm going to do this week. You don't do that. That's ludicrous thinking. That's the craziest thinking that people can actually think. That, well, God loves me so much in his grace. Listen, he expects you not to come change. He expects you to come as you are, but not leave as you are. You got to leave with a change about you. You got to leave with a new mindset about you. Listen, why? Because if you are still doing the same thing, there has been no change, and nothing changes if nothing changes. You must have a changed mind, a changed heart, a changed walk, a changed talk, a changed life all of a sudden. I'm going to close, but stay with me this morning if you would. The word of the Lord says in Luke chapter 17, verse 11, I'm reminded of a good story. One of my favorite stories, a story about the 10 lepers. The story goes that they had leprosy, and it came to pass, so he went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered in a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood afar off. And if they lifted up their voice, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, go and show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, the Bible says they were cleansed. There was a change about them. A change was taking place. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering and said, wait a minute, were there not 10 that were cleansed, but where are the other 9? I want to tell you something this morning, close. Saints of God, sin is a form of leprosy that eats slowly away at a person, killing them in a very humiliating, degrading, uncomfortable way. That's what sin does. In sin, we are clothed in corruption. Our identity is taken away. You look in a mirror, you don't even realize, you don't even see yourself as a child of God. There's a spiritual veil that is placed over your eyes, a scale that is over your eyes so that we're blinded of the truth. And the devil, he will humiliate you. He destroys your reputation. He separates you from those that love you. He leaves you out there in sin to die all alone. That's what he does. That's what sin does. But thanks be unto God, just like the 10 lepers, one day, you met Jesus. One day, you called out to Jesus and you cried out and you said, Lord, have mercy on me. And what does he do? He picks you up and he turns your life around and he changes you into a new creature, and the old things have passed away, and you get a new walk and you get a new talk and you get a new point of view and you get a new attitude, and there's no longer are you like you used to be. Why? Because you've been changed. You've been changed. Something changed because something changed in your life. The devil had a hold on me, but Jesus came and set me free. Glory to God this morning. Hallelujah. He changed my life forever.